Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We've heard today from Isaiah and John and the Psalms. We've heard them each and together tell us of Jesus' death. In Isaiah, his death was foretold. In John, his death was recorded. And in Psalms, his words from the cross are heard. His death, Jesus' death, is what we are buried with him when we are baptized. We remember that baptism is given its power to exchange our sinfulness for Christ's righteousness by his shed blood from the cross. And that, as we have died with Christ in our baptism, our life is now hidden with Christ in God. And further, that Christ's resurrection in our baptism has become our resurrection. It's important to have heard again on this day the retelling of how Jesus died from the Gospel of John. His account makes clear to us how absolutely unfathomable is Jesus' love for us, that he would die such a death in our place so that we would not have to endure such agony. I've read the Journal of the American Medical Association report on the forensic review of Jesus' death on the cross. It is unstinting in its analytical review. Keeping in mind the words of John's Gospel, let me read it again. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him. I'm going to read a portion of the medical aspects of the crucifixion. With the technical terms, I'm going to either remove those terms or put them into a language I can understand. This is what is said there. With the knowledge of both anatomy and ancient crucifixion practices, one may reconstruct the probable medical aspects of this form of slow execution. Each wound apparently was intended to produce intense agony, and the contributing causes of death were numerous. The scourging prior to the crucifixion served to weaken the condemned man, and if blood loss was considerable, to produce more than one form of shock. When the victim was thrown to the ground on his back in preparation for the nailing of his hands, his scourging wounds most likely would become torn open again and contaminated with dirt. Furthermore, with each respiration, the painful scourging wounds would be scraped against the rough wood of the cross. As a result, blood loss from the back probably would continue throughout the crucifixion ordeal. With arms outstretched but not taut, the wrists were nailed to the crossbar. It has been shown that the ligaments and bones of the wrist can support the weight of a body hanging from them, but the palms cannot. Accordingly, the iron spikes probably were driven between the radius and the carpals, or between the two rows of carpal bones and the various ligaments. Although a nail in either location in the wrist might pass between the bony elements and thereby produce no fractures, the likelihood of painful injury would seem great. Furthermore, the driven nail would crush or sever the rather large median nerve. The stimulated nerve would produce excruciating bolts of fiery pain in both arms. Although the severed median nerve would result in paralysis of a portion of the hand, impalement of various ligaments by the iron spike might produce a claw-like grasp. Most commonly, the feet were fixed to the front of the cross by means of an iron spike driven through the spaces below the ankle joint. it is likely that the deep plantar nerves would have been injured by the nails. The major bodily effect of crucifixion, beyond the excruciating pain, was a marked interference with normal respiration, particularly exhaling. The weight of the body pulling down on the outstretched arms and shoulders would tend to fix the lung and chest muscles in an inhalation state and thereby hinder normal exhalation. Accordingly, breathing was shallow. It is likely that a buildup of carbon dioxide in the lungs would soon result. The onset of muscle cramps or contractions due to fatigue and the buildup of carbon dioxide would hinder respiration even further. Adequate exhalation required lifting the body by pushing up on the feet and by flexing the elbows and contracting the shoulders. However, this maneuver would place the entire weight of the body on the ankles and would produce searing pain. Furthermore, the bending in of the elbows would cause rotation of the wrists around the iron nails and cause fiery pain along the damaged median nerves. Lifting of the body would also painfully scrape the scourged back against the rough wood of the cross. Muscle cramps and an abnormal burning sensation of the outstretched and uplifted arms would add to the discomfort. As a result, each respiratory effort would become agonizing and tiring and eventually lead to asphyxia. The actual cause of death by crucifixion had many factors and varied somewhat with each case. Death by crucifixion was, in every sense of the word, excruciating. The Latin excruciatus means out of the cross. Now, all that I have just read is what's contained in the words of John that we read. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him. There is one more author I want to read from tonight. Ed Rickard of the website called Moorings. I want you to hear from him as well on the death of Jesus. He says it very well. He says, Jesus' death cannot be attributed to any physical cause, however. He taught his disciples in John 10, 17, and 18, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. In other words, Mr. Rickert goes on to say, he could live or die as he willed. Even when his body reached a condition that would have been fatal to other men, he had the power to go on living. The gospel accounts show clearly that he died only when he chose to die. It was impossible that God incarnate should die apart from his own consent. Yet when his body could no longer function without supernatural help, he did not cling to life. Instead, he willingly commended his spirit to the Father and breathed no more. I didn't want you to miss that on this day. This is the day that Jesus indeed gave up his life for us. He willed to die in your place and mine. This he did out of love for the Father and out of love for you and I and the world. But today we join with the others at the cross that first Good Friday, knowing that Jesus truly has died. And that certainly fills our hearts too with sadness. As we leave today, we go knowing that his painful suffering and death paid completely for what we owed in our sin. And we also go knowing that his story does not end with his laying down his life, but as he told his disciples, he has power to both lay down his life and to take it up again. We gather again on the third day from now to celebrate his victory. In his name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn.